Actually, Cindy said, "We really appreciate Don. We appreciate Don. We appreciate him." And then he came in and said, "So we." I'm appreciated.
You feel appreciated, bro?
I feel appreciated now.
Don appreciates you.
Yeah. How many are CBC students? How many are graduate CBC students? Wow. Well, I used to go to CBC myself. Yeah. I never graduated. I tried, but I never made it. So, anyway, they kept promising me I'd graduate someday, but I never did. Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Father, we thank you today for Jesus. And we ask for a revelation of Jesus today. And God, I don't really know what direction to move exactly that you want to do in the next few hours that we have here. But I just ask that it would be uplifting, that we'd see Jesus' high lifted up, that you would speak to us, and that you would touch our hearts by your grace. And we thank you for this today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I've been going various places. I'm turned on. Mm-hmm. I think so. My wife and I, Dana, has been going to various places that Tom set up for us. And I appreciate that. And we've been talking about the message of Jesus. What did Jesus preach? And what did he proclaim? And I really wanted to do some expositional type teaching as well. In fact, in Augusta, I said I'm going to do that, and I never got around to it. So I don't know if I'll get around to it or not. But anyway, here's the question. You know, what was the message of Jesus? Okay, what was the message of Jesus? Well, I'm going to say a couple of things about that. First of all, if you turn to Matthew chapter 19, in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 16, there was a man that came to Jesus and asked a question. All right? And it was a very important question. And he said this, and it says in verse 16, Matthew 19, 16, "And behold, one came unto him and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, I'm not going to expand on what Jesus told him or really this man too much, or whether he was asking if there was some good works I could do to be saved or something like that. I'm not going to get into any of those issues right now about this particular passage. But here's the question. A man came to Jesus, the man that could only have the... He came to the right person. He came to Jesus. He's the one that had the answer to this question. And the question is, how can I have eternal life? The question was about eternal life. All right? Now, if you're with me there in Matthew 19, Jesus gave the man some instruction. And anyway, the man did not respond in a positive way to the instruction that Jesus gave him. And because of that, the God of money, the God, his own personal God that he didn't want to renounce and he did not want to turn away from. Because of that, he walked away from Jesus that could have given him eternal life. He walked away. All right? And then Jesus said this in verse 23. He said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Then he said in verse 24, and again I say to you, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm just going to bring out a few points. I'm just trying, because we're going to talk about a little while this morning, what was the message of Jesus? I want you to notice what the question was. The question was, how can I receive, how can I obtain eternal life? That was the question. When Jesus told him, he walked away sorrowful, he had great possessions. Jesus touched on something in his heart that he didn't want to repent and turn away from. And then Jesus says, boy, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he said it again, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The question was about eternal life. So here's the point that I want to say. Eternal life, everlasting life, and entering into the kingdom of God are synonymous. Now look what it says in verse 25. And when his disciples heard it, what Jesus had just said, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If we look at what Jesus is saying and we look at the question, we can see that the synonyms, things that mean the same, what are they? Eternal life, everlasting life, entering into the kingdom of God, and being saved are being used synonymous. You know, I know there are teachers today that are teaching things about the kingdom of God. They are teaching the kingdom of God. But a lot of teachers, not a lot, but I know there are some teachers that are teaching concerning the kingdom of God, and they say, well, it is it's the principles of the kingdom, it's the way we should live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, to some extent, they're missing the point, because Jesus is not trying to give a bunch of principles how to live. He's saying, you want everlasting life? You want to enter into eternal life and in the age to come? Do you want salvation? Do you want to enter into his kingdom? That's what we're talking about. That was the message that Jesus proclaimed. In Hebrews chapter 2, he says, the writer of Hebrews said, how shall we neglect, or how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? The salvation message did not come through the Apostle Paul. It came through the Lord. And Paul's message of salvation and his message of grace and his message of the kingdom came through the Lord. All right? I think what we've done in our 20th century church is that we've dispensationalized the message of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus out of the picture. And so therefore, we don't really take seriously the words of Christ, what he came to proclaim, and what he came to say and to show. We've kind of like, well, you know, he was under the law, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He hadn't died on the cross yet, so we don't, you know, he's not really talking about salvation. He's not really, no, it says, how shall you neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? If you understand this correctly, you will see that in Jesus' ministry, okay, I've been saying this week, there's a couple of different ways to look at the Bible, okay? You can look at the Bible like, here's my Bible, and we take the verses that we like, or a verse that we like, and we focus on that verse, and then we look at everything like this. I like that verse. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not going to look at those verses over there. I'm not going to like the verses over there. No, just like this. And so we become this focused, right like this, so we can't see anything else. But what I believe we should do, well, let me just say what happens when you do this. When you do it like this, you'll take John 3:16 and you'll become a Southern Baptist. And you'll take Acts 2:38 and you'll become a Church of Christ. And you'll take Acts 2:4, you'll become Assembly of God. You'll take 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's around verse 29. How shall you know, if the dead rise not, why are you baptizing for the dead? If the dead do not rise, you become a Mormon. You'll take Revelation, I think it's 3:20, 19 or somewhere in there. It says, the Amen says this, the beginning of the creation of God. God must have created Jesus, the beginning of his creation. Look like this. You'll become a Jehovah Witness. And we can name one denomination and one sect after another. All right? Even if you take the grace message and go like that, and don't see everything that God is saying about grace, you'll become like everything that I just described. Because Satan will destroy you, not with the Word of God you do have, but the Word of God that you ignore, and the Word of God that you push away, and the Word of God that you will not acknowledge. That's where he will eat your lunch. You know, even when Satan was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's Matthew 4, he was using Scripture, wasn't he? Satan was using Scripture. But Jesus came right back with Scripture, didn't he? Now, wait a minute. I do not believe that God ever intended for us to set Scripture against Scripture. I've got my Scripture, and I like this Scripture, and I'm going to guard this Scripture. And so I said, well, what about this? Have you ever thought about that? And you will fight tooth and nail. You will fight with this other Scripture to negate the Scripture that I just brought out. You will take this Scripture. You won't answer the Scripture. If I use a Scripture you don't like and you're not familiar with, and you'll try to take another Scripture and negate the Scripture that I said. So instead of the Scripture coming together and unifying, it'll be divisive. And so Satan uses a Scripture out of Psalms 91. And Jesus came back and said this, and I think it would be good for all of us to keep in mind what Jesus said. He says, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I was laying in bed just this week, a couple of nights ago, and we're on this ministry tour kind of in the different schools. And in the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, this verse came to me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, which I've never really received a revelation on that verse before. I've not really, in fact, I've read the verse and I've kind of like, it never clicked with me, you know, really. But it says right here, the Apostle Paul is writing Timothy, giving him instruction in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. He said this to Timothy, he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ, that is the Messiah Jesus. And all the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, that means to rebuke or correct, for correction and instruction in righteousness. Now, Paul just made a statement. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And those Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise or give you wisdom concerning what? Wise unto salvation. I have two questions here. What Holy Scriptures? And what salvation? Okay. Now, when Paul was writing this verse, we know as 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, there was no New Testament. You know, we read verses like this and we think, well, the Pauline epistles and everything Paul said in Romans and, you know, all this kind of stuff. No, Paul was writing this to an early church that did not have a New Testament. They had a Bible, but not a New Testament. In the Bible, they had the Holy Scriptures that's able to make you wise unto salvation was the Old Testament Scriptures that when you read in Acts chapter, I think it's 16 in verse, I think it's Acts 16, 1, I believe. I could be wrong on that. But we read that Timothy, when Paul came into contact with Timothy, which was a disciple and follower of Jesus and the Lord, he made this statement. He said, whose mother is a Jew and whose father is a Greek. And now Paul is saying, when you were a child, your mother, which was a Jew, taught you the Holy Scriptures that was able to make you wise unto salvation. What Holy Scriptures is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. See? Now, why am I saying this? Because, again, I know there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and New Covenant. But we act and kind of have an attitude in our heart, kind of like, I don't really want any of that stuff. I've got some of this new stuff, you know, what Paul is saying and this and that. And yet the early church never probably had teachings about healing or prosperity or spirit, soul, and body or any kind of teaching like this. You say, what? How could you say such a thing? But what the early New Testament had, or the early church had, was an Old Testament. So whatever revelation they were getting about Jesus, they were getting it from the Old Testament. You see what I'm saying? They were getting it from the Old Testament. So the early church probably had a different look than we have today. All right? And their message was more a message not on a doctrinal theme, but on the person of the Messiah that the Old Testament prophesied would come. And the Jews had the right interpretation on that. And Jesus never corrected that interpretation by saying, oh, you're totally wrong. That's not right. The Messiah will not come. He will not set up an everlasting kingdom. It will not be a new age of, you know, prosperity, blessing, all things new, a new heaven and a new earth where dwells righteousness. No, you got the right idea. Where'd you get it? From the Holy Scriptures that's made you wise into salvation. Okay, well, those Holy Scriptures must have made me wise, or must have made Timothy wise, for somewhere in there, he must have got a hold of the end of the service where the pastor calls you in front and ask you to pray a prayer. Timothy must have somehow got a hold of the altar call when we ask people to come forward and accept Jesus as their Savior. Timothy must have gotten a hold of the salvation makes him, that from the Old Testament that makes him wise to call people to invite Christ into their heart. What I'm saying is, Timothy from the scriptures of the Old Testament had some kind of a theology about salvation, but it probably is not the thing that we talk about and promote in our churches. Now, am I saying that the things that we promote in our churches are wrong? No. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, let's look at this. All I've got, well, most, they couldn't go down to a Bible bookstore and buy a Bible, but the Bible that was very scarce, but they did have, was available, was the Old Testament scrolls. And usually you had to be kind of wealthy to purchase a scroll because they were handwritten. You know, and you may only have one book, like the Ethiopian eunuch had the scroll. Had Isaiah in it. He was out in the desert. But you could go to the synagogue in Judaism, and that was the little church house with a small congregation, kind of like what we have right now here today. And you could go into the synagogue, and part of the Jewish worship was the reading of the scripture. What scripture was it? The Old Testament. Right? So Jesus would go into, he would walk into the synagogue, and there'd be that time in that service when they would have the reading of the scriptures, and then they would have someone that wanted to expound on it, because there was much more freedom in the synagogue than there are in our churches today. So Jesus walks up with the scroll. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to liberate captives, to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the blind eyes, and et cetera, et cetera. And he read that passage from Isaiah 61. He says, today, what was written over 700 years ago is fulfilled right now in your midst. And then he rolled the scroll back up and went and sat down. What? What were the Jewish people looking for? They were looking for the Messiah. How do I know that? Read your New Testament, you can find out real easy. Jesus meets a woman at the well, and he asks her a few questions and this and that. What was one of the things she said? She says, we know that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. Where'd she get that information? She got it from the Old Testament. They were looking for a Messiah. not a Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. And then John the Baptist went out into the wilderness. He started baptizing. People came to him. And what did they say? Are you the one? Are you the one? Or do we look for someone else? Where did he get that information? They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for not a Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah prophesied throughout the Old Testament. And they read it for hundreds of years. And they did not have a wrong perspective. And then Jesus comes on the scene and began his public ministry and stepped out. The first thing he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at the threshold. It's you're at the door opening of this kingdom of God. They go, oh, we've looked for this for thousands of years. And just when Jesus would say that, I'm a Gentile sitting in the crowd, and I want to raise my hand. Hey, wait a minute. Kingdom of God? I've heard that term in my church. I never explained what it means or anything. What do you mean, kingdom of God? I don't know what you're talking about. I was waiting for the Jewish person to raise their hand and ask the question, and they never raised their hand to ask the question because they were already trained. They already knew what he was talking about. They already knew from the Holy Scriptures that is making Timothy wise unto salvation. Already knew it. So what did the Holy Scriptures that makes Timothy wise unto salvation, what kind of salvation are we talking about? What kind of salvation is the Old Testament talking about? Okay. Well, let's look first of all at Isaiah. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. I don't have my King James Version, right? Well, I'd have my King James New Testament. I got my NIV Old Testament, so I'm reading this out of the NIV, but I'm a King James person, but sometimes I use the NIV because it just to help people understand it a little better. But in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, the writer, Isaiah, said, surely he took our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. Isaiah's saying, it appears here that somebody's going to come and takes someone else's infirmities and carry away someone's sorrows. And the writer in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 quotes this verse. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, they came unto him, and he healed all the sick. And he delivered them from demons, and he set them free from their diseases. And then the writer, Matthew, said, kind of like Isaiah, today this is fulfilled in your ears. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The Messiah has arrived. Did you know this verse, these verses, was written 700 years before Jesus walked through that little country of Israel and took all their sicknesses and delivered them from demons and set them free and raised the dead and cleansed the lepers. And Isaiah said the Messiah would come. And when he came, there would be miracles and there'd be healings everywhere. Do you read your New Testament? If this is the New Testament says, I'm just paraphrasing it, it's one of the verses in the New Testament. If he's not the Messiah, how can he do all these miracles? We've never seen anyone do as many miracles as this man. If he's not the Messiah, I mean, he is fulfilling everything we've been reading in our Bible, which was the Old Testament. He's been fulfilling it all here. You see, what kind of salvation is Timothy getting a hold of here? Right now, we're seeing it work out in the physical healings that are taking place all over Israel. Okay? Now look. Verse 5, but he was pierced, Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Someone's going to come, and he's going to be pierced with a spear in his side. He's going to be beat with stripes on his back. He's going to be pierced with wounds in his hands and in his feet. And it said he would be crushed, not for his sins, but for our iniquities, our wickedness, and our sin. And the punishment that should have come upon us came upon him and brought us peace. By his wounds, he's brought us a place of healing and wholeness. Right? Now look. Verse 6. But we all, like sheep, went astray, and we turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have a Messiah coming to do work. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus was accused of doing this, accused of doing that. They couldn't get their story straight, right? He was accused of all kinds of things, but they couldn't get their story straight. He went to a mock trial, and they questioned him, but he would not open his mouth. He would not answer them a word. You know why? Because 700 years before that happened, Jehovah, the Lord, said that the Messiah would come and he'd be like a sheep. He wouldn't even open his mouth when the accusations would come. Perfect description of his trial. Verse 8, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Did you know that these verses out of Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, was quoted by one of the great evangelists of the New Testament? In fact, he used it to lead a man to saving faith in Jesus. These two verses that we just read, you know who it was? It was Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. When the eunuch was reading these verses and didn't understand, it was Philip that began at the same verse and showed him, this is Jesus. this is talking about Jesus. Amen. Look at this, verse 9. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, cause him to suffer. But through the Lord makes his life a guilt offering. Verse 9, he was assigned a grave with the wicked. Where was Jesus buried? He was buried in the tomb of a rich man among the rich. Do you see, the early New Testament church had the Word of God. It said, he says right there in 2 Timothy 3:15, then he said in 16, but all Scripture, he didn't say, the New Testament Scripture wasn't written, so he wasn't really referring to the New Testament Scripture, although it's true of the New Testament Scripture as well. But he's saying, all the Scripture that you were raised on, Timothy, was inspired by God. It was God-breathed. Believe it or not, it was profitable for doctrine. You know what doctrine means? Teaching. And Philip the evangelist taught Jesus out of that scripture that was breathed from God. Without the Pauline epistles, without the four verses in Romans, without the sinner's prayer at the end of the booklet, now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to, you know, we could go for a long time through the Old Testament scripture. But you get the idea, right?
Yeah.
You get the idea? Okay, so I tell you what, let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back to the New Testament, okay? So why don't you take a 5-minute break, and we'll start another session.